General Neem, Reel 8. Right, we'll begin then by talking about the event for which you won the VC. Could you just describe that to me in your own words?
The 8th Division carried out an attack on the 18th of December near Neuve-Chapelle, and during the earlier hours of the 19th, in fact, in the middle of the night, I was ordered to go up to the area of the attack with my Royal Engineers section to help consolidate the captured area. When I got up to the front, I was told that the Germans were counterattacking, and the CO of the infantry battalion concerned asked me to go up into the line and see what I could do in making our defenses strong. I took my sapper section forward, got up into the front, and heard noise of fighting and bombs. They were called bombs then. They were hand grenades. I heard the noise of these exploding. I thought it best to go forward myself. I left my section of sappers, about 36 men under a sergeant, in our old front line, while I crawled forward up a ditch and got into the German trenches where our leading infantry were to see what was happening. When I got there, I saw the infantry officer in command who said that the Germans were counterattacking with hand grenade, with bombs, as we called them then, and that his own bombers had all been wounded, and that the bombs that were left would not go off. So I went up to talk to one of the few remaining unwounded bombers, whom I found up in the front, and discovered that he couldn't light our own bombs because there were no fusees left, and he didn't know how to light the safety fuse without a fusee. Well, I did know how to, because you can do it by holding a match head on the end of the fuse and striking a matchbox across it. So I got up to the front and started throwing bombs back at the Germans. And that's how the whole affair started. There were crowds of our infantry all crowded up into the remaining bit of trench we'd captured from the Germans. And the Germans were throwing their bombs at us from two different directions. And so I had rather a business, being the only person there who knew how to light our bombs. I quickly shouted for all our available bombs to be sent up to me, and told two or three of the infantry, West Yorks, to stay by me in a bit of trench alongside me in case the Germans tried to rush us. I then started lighting and throwing bombs in the two different directions from which the Germans were throwing bombs at us. I very quickly stopped the Germans bombing from a trench away on the right, which didn't run into ours. It was some branch trench. They stopped. It was, any further trouble from that stopped. Then I had a good deal of bombing coming from straight in front of me, round from Germans throwing from about 20 or 30 yards away. And so I quickly threw several bombs as quick as I could and with as good an aim as I could. To do this, I had to stand up on the fire step and expose myself so that I could see where I was throwing with some accuracy. And every time I stood up, a German machine gun had fired at me, but luckily he was a bit slow, and I always managed to pop down again, having thrown my bomb before the stream of machine gun bullets came over more or less where I'd been standing. Anyway, after some little time, I might say that after I'd thrown one or two bombs, I heard what sounded like shouts and screams from the Germans in the trench where I'd been throwing my bombs. So evidently they had been effective. And at all events, the German bombing eased off very much. And after about a quarter of an hour or so, the German bombing almost stopped. Only one came over at longish intervals, and after a bit it stopped altogether. And so I was able to hang on to the trench we had captured, having only had to withdraw by one bay, that's to say some 8 or 10 yards. And then I with two or three West Yorks infantrymen, whom I'd hung on to stay there in case the Germans tried to rush along the trench. We stayed there, and the West Yorks officer in command, Captain Ingpen, came along to see how things were going on, and he offered to send more infantry up. And I said, no, I don't want any more. These three fellows are quite enough to hold this bit of trench. If it's only a case of a few Germans trying to run along the trench bottom, and so if you'll leave them, leave two or three of your best men here, that's all that's necessary. And because Captain Ingpen had told me that he had had orders to evacuate the German trench and take all his men back to the British line where we'd started the attack from. And so I stayed there for the next half an hour or three quarters of an hour, holding that bit of line. And then I got a message to say that all the British troops had got back safely. Mind you, a great many had been killed and wounded by the German bombs and by machine gun fire before I'd got up there. And when I'd gone up, and also still more when I was going back, the bottom of the trench were numbers of dead British soldiers lying there, and a certain number of wounded who hadn't been got back. So we managed to help some of the wounded get back to our own line. And when we finally had a message to say we were to come back, I finally gave a quick two or three bombs as a final goodbye to the Germans, really to keep them quiet while we moved back down the trench. And I first of all sent the last two British infantry soldiers ahead of me and told them to go back down the trench, but not to cross where the trench had joined you had to cross a road to get back into the British trench. And the Germans had a machine gun pointing at that point, and it was fatal to try and run across there. I said, go along the road ditch this side a bit and then dash across the road. They won't be ready for you there, and you're much safer to try it that way. Well, these two, my last two escort, went down, and they did turn off. I couldn't see them. I was watching the Germans. I couldn't see where they went, and then I went down, and I turned right along the road ditch and dashed across and got across safely. Then I discovered that my two escort hadn't yet arrived. Couldn't make out what had happened to them. And we then lined the road ditch on our side of the road to stop the Germans attempting to attack. And after we helped some of the wounded, I helped one or two of the wounded get across the road, and in the end I joined up with my sappers and my sergeant, and amongst other things my sergeant and I had to carry a badly wounded infantryman down along the road in full view of the Germans, because it was quite impossible to move him along the road ditch. And apparently the Germans respected our task, because they didn't shoot at us, which they could easily have done.
You were sitting ducks, were you?
Yes. Hmm. And so then we got them into our proper trench, where it was much easier to walk along, and handed them over to handed the men over to stretcher bearers. Then I went back just to see what was happening, and I remember getting hold of a rifle and having a pot shot at some Germans who were visible moving in their own trenches. And at one time we thought they were going to try and rush us, and I'm pretty certain I did for a German who showed himself at short range. Then, to my astonishment, my two escort fellows appeared in the ditch the other side and safely dashed across the road without getting shot. They had, instead of turning where I told them along the opposite road ditch and dashing across, they'd lost themselves in the German trenches and were jolly lucky to finally find their way safely safely back to our line. Well, then the next thing, I went back and reported at the battalion headquarters, our own battalion headquarters, and thinking I'd done my day's work, because my task had been to go and prepare the captured German trenches for defence, and as there were no longer any captured German trenches, I presumed I could go back to our billets behind the line. However, the infantry, two infantry colonels, West Yorks and the Devons, asked me to take my section of sappers back to the front line again and make sure that our own original line was in a good state for defence, because they were afraid the Germans might now set to and counterattack. So after this very exhausting morning's work I'd already had, not so much the work as an hour and a half's fighting, I had to take my section back again to the front line and set my men to patching up broken breastworks and trench defences and so on for the rest of the day. I think that's...
That's awfully interesting. I suppose if you kind of categorise events for which awards are given between those which are spontaneous and those which are premeditated, yours would really fall into the premeditated character, because there was nothing in that event which you didn't sort of know what you were letting yourself in for at each stage.
Yes, except that when I was ordered up to the line, I was going up there with sappers to do defence works.
Mm.
You know, it wasn't like going up with a with attacking troops when you know you may be let in for anything. Even the sappers, you go forward with attacking troops and may be let in for anything. I was going up expecting to find a portion of German trenches safely held by our infantry, and we sappers were there to make good blocked up trenches and so on, and perhaps put some wire out and make them good defensive positions.
Yes. So when you learned that you'd been awarded the VC, did it come as a surprise to you?
Yes. well, only, no, not when I'd been awarded, because actually,